Welcome to the broadcast of Alive and Remain Ministries. Please stay tuned after the message to find out how you can order a copy and learn more information about this dynamic ministry. Now, here's your host, Pastor John Massey Jr.
Welcome again to Alive and Remain Ministries. This is your internet host, pastor and teacher, Pastor Massey, emanating from West Troy, New York. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for your marvelous opportunity to expound what thus saith the Lord. We pray that all the listeners will be able to assimilate the word of God. We ask that you keep us from the spirit of error and that some soul's heart will be convicted, that they will cry out and say, "What must I do to be saved?" May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. We welcome your comments and questions. Please forward them and we will be delighted to air them. Today is a most difficult time because there are so many subjects that should be addressed because of the volatility of the day in which we're living in. But I think that it is pertinent that we start in the book of Revelation and springboard from there. Revelation is probably one of the more difficult books to understand because there's so much symbolism. The object is to find out the meaning of the symbol, and when you make a composite and correlate and reference the symbols, then you will understand the truth under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. Revelation is not what we call a doomsday message. It is a message of hope and expectation for the believer. You must remember that prophecy is history written in advance, and this is for the preparations of the saints of God. Now, we must dispel this myth that the book of Revelation is primarily for those that have been left behind in the rapture, and it is for the nation of Israel. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you would just look at Revelation chapter 1, starting with verse 1, it reads like this: "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." Couple things here. Number one, servants. Every believer is a servant of Christ. Number two, signify, that is to symbolize it. And then if we skip down to verse number 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy," revelation, prophecy, "and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand," prophecy, history written in advance. And then if we would fast forward to Revelation 22 and 16, at the culmination of this prophetic book, this is Jesus, a quote, 22 and 16, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you the things in the churches," not the nation of Israel, but the things in the churches. "I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." So the book of Revelation pertains to the churches. So, having that said, before we can even delve any further into it, we need to consider some geopolitical things and timelines to be able to put Revelation in a biblical structure of truth. When we're talking about geopolitical things, we're talking about economy, demographics, military things, everything that pertains to a particular era. Well, the world is in a geopolitical shift. We are going to shift from sovereign, independent nations to a global or one world nation. We are presently in transition. If you didn't know anything about the Bible, all you have to do is look at the situations, the circumstances that are prevailing and that are being promoted. Let's ask the question, what is being promoted? Globalism, internationalism, and governance. It all means everybody saying the same thing and abiding by the same rules. I'll give you another illustration. Let's look at the economic climate in the world, not just America, but the world. every nation, as I understand it, every nation on the face of this earth is in debt. Well, it's very plausible and very appealing that if the IMF, International Monetary Fund, or the World Bank, or the Federal Reserve, or the Central Bank, if you forgive every nation of their debt, that is to eradicate all debt, they will willingly and gladly and eagerly accept a one world currency. The reason why this is will be so plausible, because the benefit will be that it's easier to manage one currency than almost 200 currencies, and we'll never have that problem again. And the motivation for countries to capitulate or to surrender their currency is because they cannot pay their debt. It is so plausible. I mean, it's almost common sense equation. So the world is being postured to accept a one world currency. It's here. We're facing it. America, as they so falsely print that America is about $7-8 trillion in debt. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's more like $65-70 trillion. And the more we continue to issue bailout monies, that is printing currency out of thin air, the debt will increase. For instance, our income tax does nothing but pay the interest on our debt. The debt is not going down. There's no such thing as balancing the budget. It's impossible to do. It's impossible to stop the debt when you're spending monies and that you don't have, and you're increasing the debt. So it's going to get to the point where all the nations of the world will be willing to accept a world currency because the debt will be eradicated. Well, if that's the case, if we're going to have a global economy, there must be some global policies that will govern the economy. If that's necessary and you have policies, you need law enforcement to enforce those policies. Well, you're going to have to do it militarily, on a global level, on a state level, regional level, local level. Well, you would need something like an entity called the United Nations, or all nations as prophesied in the scriptures. And again, I told you what makes this so phenomenal is that it was unthought of about 1900 years ago to have sovereign nations. Everything was ruled and dominated by empires. Well, what is going to happen to America? We are the financial capital of the world. New York City is the financial capital of the world. We are the trendsetters. We are the military superpower of the world. So there is a dominant influence of America. We have in place where the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is promoting open borders. There are other liberals that are promoting open borders. And every time you hear the word internationalism, they're talking about open borders. What this will mean is that we will be a global one world nation. Sovereignty as we know it, patriotism and nationalism, means nothing. That's why nationalism is not promoted. Pledge allegiance to the flag, the Star Spangled Banner, and different things of that nature. Patriotism is not promoted because the powers that be, again, the rulers of darkness of this world, are trying to eradicate that. Then you can expect what Luke says and what Matthew says and the Gospel of Mark says. There are going to be social and political upheavals. And please keep in mind, until January the 20th, when President-elect is sworn in, President Bush is still Commander-in-Chief. At any time at his discretion or the discretion of those that control the presidency wish to enact executive order, he can declare a national state of emergency and that will cancel out all elections. It's a possibility. I don't know if it's a probability, but it's certainly a possibility. And again, I ask you to consider that these are indeed the last days, last times that we're living in, because the Bible says so, and there's so many signs, so many indications, etc. So getting to understand the book of Revelation, as I said, you don't even have to know the Bible to realize that there are so many volatilities out there. As I told you concerning President-elect Obama, he is an expansionist, that he's going to expand wars. He will not have the troops home in 18 months, as he said in one of his speeches during his candidacy. He has already stated that he's in favor of sending more troops, that he will send more troops to the Afghanistan border. Now, India, you can expect a war to escalate, and it's not beyond the possibility that there might very well be a controlled nuclear war over in Pakistan and India. Pakistan does not love India. India does not love Pakistan. India is an ally to America. America is trying to isolate China from the rest of the world, and Pakistan is an ally to China, or very favorable status. And so it's already on the drawing boards that Pakistan and the Middle East will be divided up into various regions that will be for better security. Right now, the Pakistani people are living in terror and fear, expecting NATO, Afghanistan, and probably India to invade them. I just spoke with someone from Pakistan today. They emailed me what the Pakistani newspapers are saying, what the Indian newspapers are saying. So war is going to expand. What this will do, it will irate the Muslims, the Islamic world. And so it's not unreasonable or unrealistic to believe that these terrorist, so-called terrorist cells in America will cause some havoc. And if they do cause havoc, you can expect that the 1st Division Army Fighting Brigade will be activated. Martial law will be implemented. Homeland Security will be an authority. And then there are only two people that rule. Well, really one is the president and Homeland Security director under the auspices of the president. At one time, this was considered to be science fiction, far-fetched, but the reality is it exists this very moment. And again, executive order, at any time prior to January the 20th, President of the United States can declare a state of emergency. That cancels out everything. Whether it happens or not, I'm not altogether sure. And biblically, it is not an event. It's just another detail leading up to the events that we're going to discuss here with the little bit of time we have left. It is so important that you understand timelines. Prophecy teachers that do not use timelines will most of the time be very undisciplined in their interpretation. You must not rush to judgments and conclusions when it comes to prophecy. Let me give you another illustration. Right now, everyone that believes in prophecy are trying to find out who is the Antichrist, the man of perdition, the man of sin. Really, at this particular point, it does not matter. If you are focusing on trying to find out who the Antichrist is, then you do not understand the importance of having timelines. In Daniel chapter 2, I would say, and this is very, very important, extremely important. It says here, this is about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And it outlines and explains the metallic image that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. Daniel explains that there are four kingdoms that we have to look out for: the Babylonian kingdom, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, and the fourth kingdom that is not named is Rome. Babylon is named in the Bible as the head of gold. The Medes and Persians are named as the silver and the brass. The Grecians are named, but when it comes to this fourth kingdom, God did not inspire Daniel to give it a name. And there's a reason for it, but we know that when Jesus was born, it was during the time of the Roman rule. And that rule will continue until Jesus come even now as it is incognito, but it has transformed itself into a different entity. And the entity that we're looking for now, before we can look for the Antichrist, we must look for the 10 kingdoms. We must look for the 10 kingdoms. The Bible says out of the 10 horns of the 10 kingdoms, there will emerge a little horn or a little ruler out of the 10. Looking for the Antichrist is really conflicting with timelines. You must look for and identify the 10 kingdoms. Now, my guess is, militarily, I don't know if that is the emphasis of the 10 kingdoms. I think the 10 kingdoms at this point, and it's a guess, and I think it's a very biblical guess, not absolute, but one that's worth thinking and considering and watching. Right now, there's one issue that is affecting the whole world that is terrorizing the world. It's not really terrorism, believe it or not. That just compounds the issue. It's money. It's the economy. The economy affects everything. Now, let's look at something very unique. In the book of Revelation, it talks about this Babylon the Great, how she makes nations and kings and men rich. Food for thought. What nation in the world exists today that is responsible for rebuilding Japan and the European economy? Quite naturally, it's America. What nation is the leading foreign aid nation? Well, used to be. I haven't checked in the last couple of years. We know that the lead in foreign aid has always been America. Every economy in the world is controlled by the IMF, the International Money Fund. Well, that happens to be headquarters in Washington, D.C. I think it was in 95 when Mexico was having the problem with the pesos. I think it was 95. They needed an infusion to stimulate the money to infuse or stimulate the economy. Who comes to the rescue? The IMF. Where's the IMF located? Washington, D.C. Then there's that other entity called the World Bank that again influencing that influenced the culture of every nation, building schools, roads, etc., approving loans. Well, for some strange reason, the World Bank is headquarters in Washington, D.C., in America. Then that is that for-profit, a non-federal entity called the Federal Reserve that controls, deflates and inflates the economy in America. And I think there are 12 regions in America. That happens to be located in Washington, D.C. There is no bank, there's no nation, no corporate giant in the world that can get a substantial loan unless they have the approval of the IMF. Well, Iceland, I think it was, their economy just collapsed. Who comes to the rescue? The IMF. Now, the Bible talks about this structure, this mystery, or Babylon the Great, that makes people rich. It also talks about the merchants of the seas and of the world, how they come, how they trade with this particular nation. And we know that the two structural buildings, the World Trade Center, was located in New York. Very interesting. So it seems like the financial capital of the world is America. Now, we're not trying to say that America is Babylon. All we're doing is looking at prophetic characteristics. Then there's another entity that controls and influences the economy called the G7. Well, I think they rotate hosting the meetings, but the origins of it and the origination is in, I believe, New Hampshire, the state of New Hampshire, and that's in America too. So we have entities created and controlled by America. Number one, the G7. Some call it the G8, the G7. We have the World Bank. We have the International Monetary Fund. And then we have the Federal Reserve. Now, let's make a composite. The Bible says the The love of money is the root of all evil. Say, it's the love of. Well, Jesus considers money to be a god. There are two dominant influences in the world. It is God, and Jesus calls it mammon. What is mammon? It is wealth that has a debasing influence. Jesus says, you cannot serve God and serve mammon. It's one or the other. The love of money is the root of all evil. Well, everyone knows that the world evolves around money. The most pressing issue right now for every nation on the face of the earth is not terrorism, it's their economy. And people will compromise their convictions for their economic well-being. So my forecast is it's going to get worse, as I've said, since September the 16th. It cannot get any better. September the 16th, I published it. I put it on YouTube. I say you can expect that they're going to play with the gas. I say to appease the people because of these bailouts that they're going to drastically drop the price of gas. They have. I said, now everything will be fully blown up after Christmas. This is a time to pacify people. It's a good mood to make them forget about their sorrows, to have this calming effect. Immediately after Christmas, the holidays, you can expect things to explode. Here's the problem about the Christians and believers. All we have to do is learn to make adjustments in our lifestyles. Now, the inevitable is going to occur. Persecution is, will, shall, no doubt about it, come to America. As I've said, there's not one person that can show in the Word of God where America is exempt from physical persecution. The Bible says all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can avoid it, but it's still going to happen. And the Bible tells us, arm yourselves likewise with this same mind, for he that has ceased from sin shall suffer in the flesh. Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me daily. Well, we know that the cross symbolizes suffering. So it is the blind leaders leading the blind that believes that they can say generic prayers and that God will forgive America for all of his decadence and its influence, its abominable influence in the world. Well, the problem is the churches are. God's angry with the churches. If you look at the last church that is mentioned called Church of Laodiceans in the third chapter of Revelation, God says the church is not cold nor hot. He said you're lukewarm. And this is talking about the churches. He said, because you're not cold or hot, he said, I will spew thee or spit thee out of my mouth because thou say, I am rich, increase with goods and have needs of nothing. That is an attitude. Rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing. Is that not the time of prosperity that we're living in? Yet the Lord says, you're blind, you're poor, you're miserable, you're naked, and you're wretched. Now listen to this as we continue to read. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. As Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. The Lord says he will chasten his church. How he decides to do it, that's his discretion. So we have the tribulation period coming, which might very well be a chastisement for the church. And then the Bible talks about the beginning of sorrows, which might very well be the prelude to the great tribulation. So we've got to ask ourselves now, are we going to believe tradition? Are we going to believe the Bible? The Bible tells us that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. The American church, the Western church, has been lured into this false sense of security that we have favorite status with God and that we don't have to worry about what the other saints are dealing with around the world. Saints and listeners, prepare. Don't believe tradition. You need to pray, read your Bible, and ask God to help you be prepared and keep you from the spirit of error. Does not the Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil? Isn't it the time we're living in? The Bible says that day shall not come except there be a falling away. Is this not the time that we're falling in? Is not the church fragmented and fractionalized? The church doesn't know anything about praying. All we know about is being a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. So now the church is all wrapped up in President-elect Obama. How deceptive that we're putting our trust in the arm of flesh. You must remember what Jesus told Pilate. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it was so, my servants would come and fight." Well, how can we set our affections here when Jesus says this kingdom is not my world? The Bible tells us to set our affections on things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of throne of God. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." So we as a church must reprioritize. There's no use to praying and trying to fight what is going to happen. Prophecy is hidden history written in advance. So expect everything to get worse. Don't expect anything to get better. It can't get better because these are the last days. These are the combination of the last days. Now, don't believe all the hype, emotionalism, and sensationalism and personalities that people are teaching. Study the word. Jesus says, "Search the scriptures, for them you think you have eternal life." You don't know until you actually search it. You don't need a lot of sensationalism when it comes to prophecy, teaching, interpretation. All you need is the plain truth. You need to be praying, say, "Lord, help me to stay and keep me from the spirit of error." May God bless you. This has been your internet host, pastor emanating from West Troy. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.
You've been listening to Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries. To order a copy of this message, please call 518-272-6679. That's 518-272-6679. Alive and Remain Ministries is a part of the Redemption Church of Christ. You can visit on the web, redemptionchurch.net. And don't forget to join Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Gospel Impact Radio.